What is up, y'all? It's B Dangerous back again with another edition of Dangerous Sports Talk. And this is where shit gets popping. I know I've been doing shows consistently, but that's exactly what I want. Y'all been running the listens up, so hey, every 3 to 4 listens add the hell up when it comes to multiple shows being put out. But before we get into anything, please follow me, the host, DB Dangerous, on Instagram and Twitter at DB Dangerous. Also, follow Dangerous Sports Talk, the Facebook page, and this very podcast you're listening to right now on Spotify, CastBox, Breaker, Radio Republic, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, wherever podcasts are available. Now, let's get into it. I guess the best place to start on this episode in particular would be Harden heading to the Clippers. And if you know anything about James Harden, the player, you will know that this move right here was possibly the funniest thing that could happen to the fucking Clippers of all people. Of all teams, I'm sorry. Because James Harden is the type of player that he has pretty much been a star player and a journeyman, no matter where he has went. Whether he was just starting on OKC and moving to do his own thing in Houston, then taking his ass to the Brooklyn Nets, then going to the Philadelphia 76ers, now he's on the Clippers. Now, what do you really think is gonna happen here? And usually when a dude is a journeyman, the same thing always happens over and over again. They get to a team, they're cool for a little bit. They're cool for a little bit. But as time goes on, deeper into the season, his morale starts to plummet. He's not getting enough touches. This person is doing that. I'm not getting enough calls. You just complain and complain and complain that things aren't going your way. And then when the big moment happens and you're in the playoffs and it's crunch time for your team, you turn into Houdini and do a disappearing act. James Harden has done this on all of the teams that I've previously mentioned. And to boot, he's reunited with Russell Westbrook. And what do you think is really gonna happen here? Like, every time the Clippers sign a quote unquote big name, their stock plummets because they know that their organization is trash. They can try to give you all this big energy saying, "We're the real team of LA, we're the new team of LA, we're coming to take the Lakers spot," which you never fucking will. And you show me every time why I call you the rent payers. So trust me, the Clippers don't strike no type of fear over here, even when they sign Kawhi. Even though I love Kawhi Leonard, he is still, sadly, his stock plummeted because he was on the Clippers. And as long as he is on the Clippers, he is never going to win another thing. Hell, I think Paul George is either injured, because I'm pretty sure I would have known if he would have left already, but Paul George is still there. Before, he claimed to be a Lakers fan when he was a free agent. Then when he signed to the Clippers, he was always a Clippers fan. Listen, name one, just one, legendary Clippers player. I'll wait. I'll definitely wait on that. Because literally, the most legendary person I can think of that has been on the Clippers was probably Brent Barry in the 90s. And he gave them a dunk contest win. And that's when the Clippers were the bottom of the barrel and the damn punchline of the NBA. And they still are. Don't ever get it twisted. You might have had some top players at one point in time, but you didn't do anything with it. All the Clippers have to show for them having Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, Patrick Beverley, Jamal Crawford, all these different players that were decent players. DeAndre Jordan, what do you have to show for it? Nothing but a racist owner while you're wearing your slave 11s. But they're the new team in LA, right? And all you have is a Western Conference Finals appearance to your name. And the Suns burned you out of that. So trust me, the Clippers don't strike no fear in my motherfucking heart. Especially not this Laker fan. And speaking of the Lakers, they fucking finally snapped an 11-game winning streak the Clippers had over the Lakers. Fucking finally. And the funny thing is, people think that this is the first time this has happened, which it has. But this is not the first time the Lakers have lost to the Clippers in an embarrassing fashion. I believe in 2000, the Clippers ended up winning a game versus the Lakers in the regular season, and that was unexpected. But usually, the Clippers are always on the receiving end of a Lakers ass whooping. So please, I'll let you have your little 11-game winning streak, but don't get mad. Do not get mad when it snapped, and it is. LaForte had 35 points. AD had another 27-point, 10-rebound double-double game. D'Lo also had 27, and Reeves had 17. And this is the way they should have been playing against the Clippers all along. Because had you consistently shown up and played against the Clippers every year that you sucked, there would be no 11-game winning streak to break. Y'all gave the charity. And trust me, that charity went straight to their heads and they think that they're that motherfucking team. Meanwhile, they're paying rent in the same building that you play in. No, hell, your rent better be paid. Is that why y'all lost this game? Because you didn't pay your rent on time? And they had to beat it out of you? I think that's what it was. And the funniest thing about this quote-unquote whole rivalry is we all know that the Lakers, I can flex about the championships. But I'm not going to do that. But if you look at the Lakers' accomplishments as a whole, not even just the championships, their Western Conference titles, how many times they've gotten to the championships, gotten to the finals, I'm sorry. How many conference finals they've actually been to, how many times they made the playoffs, how many retired jerseys they have, and all the Clippers have is selfies and a racist owner that is banned from the game of basketball for life. I'm sorry to be the one to tell y'all, but they do not compare, even though y'all try so hard to make it seem that way. They will never compare. What so fucking ever? So y'all could put that in your pipe and fucking smoke it. Also, the Bulls lose to the Mavs without any Kyrie Irving being present. And obviously, this is going to bring down the Bulls' morale because games like this, they should be winning. Absolutely should be winning. Because it's not like you don't have the talent there. This is about chemistry. And even though Billy D, I don't have any problems with him as a coach, but at some point in time, you got to look in the mirror. I don't know what management is going to do to fix this problem. I don't know what moves they're going to make to fix all of this shit. But all I know is y'all drop winnable games all the fucking time. And I know y'all are going to get tired of losing. Because DeMar DeRozan just passed, Larry Bird in scoring, in the all-time scoring list. And that should be commended. I'll never take anything away from that. But man, you got to get the win. You got to get the win. Because a win over a team like the Mavericks, one of the best teams in the Western Conference right now, will do a lot for you. And it'll make teams take you more seriously. Because if you can beat the Mavs, you could possibly beat this team or that team. You could beat Denver if you really wanted to, even though you might get the hell beaten out of you. You could have a chance of beating the Mavericks. I'm sorry, you could have a chance of beating the Denver Nuggets if you just had the right fucking chemistry. Because there was a time where people didn't think the Bulls could have done anything. And they clawed and they fought and they showed they had heart to win games they shouldn't have been winning or had no business being in. And this is after Derrick Rose got injured. After Derrick got hurt, the wind went out of everything. But that group of guys right there showed that they were not to be slept on and to be taken seriously. Because I know Bulls fans remember this game. When the Bulls snapped the Heat's 27 game winning streak with no Derrick Rose present. And Chris Bosh got dunked on by Jimmy, who now has a part in his hair, and his hair is pressed in Miami. But that's another story for another day. They snapped that winning streak. And the most games that have been won in a row is still held by the 1972 Lakers. So, trust me. That game was fun, and they showed they had heart. They clawed, they scratched, they bit, they did whatever it was they had to do to win that fucking game. Because they weren't going to lay down and just let teams take their shit. And that's the same attitude that this group of Bulls needs to have. Because they still have a lot of developing players there. And Patrick Williams and Kobe White. Vooch is still doing his thing. But they're still growing. They're still fairly young guys. And they're young players. So I wouldn't consider them veterans just yet. Not yet. Maybe within 5 years they'll be veterans. But DeRozan and Zach, they're veterans. And after a while, they're going to get tired of scoring, 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 and not winning, winning, winning. So, fix that chemistry problem, Bulls. Billy D, change your coaching style. Change what? Change your assistant coach. Do whatever it is you got to do. Because these losses are not pretty. And you're going to feel pretty damn dumb if you don't make any changes by the damn trade deadline. And that's not until fucking February. But, like I said, it's still early in the season. I'm not going to put claims on too many teams or really say what the Bulls are going to do or not do, because the season could turn around because it's still fucking early, obviously. But get it together, Bulls. Also, we got a little bit of sad news coming out of Indiana. So one of my friends sent me a picture yesterday, and he said that Bobby Knight had passed away. Now, if you know anything about college hoops, I've learned to appreciate the college game more as I've gotten older. But even when I was younger, I knew who Bobby Knight was. Now, you can argue that he was a controversial coach, and he was, because he was passionate about winning. However, when you choke players and throw chairs, you're still going to be like, okay, you need to calm down. You really need to calm down. So, even though Bobby Knight was a hothead, to say the very least, and he used profanity to get his point across to his players, they still won. And he is still one of the most heralded coaches and respected college coaches in NCAA history. I'll never take anything away from what Bobby Knight accomplished as a coach, because he absolutely did that. Hell, I believe he was Larry Bird's coach, if I'm not mistaken. In the 1979 March Madness, what was the national championship game against Michigan State? That is an absolute classic game. If you don't know anything about college sports, you would least know about that game. And while he lost that game, it was still like, yo, you coached a legendary Larry Bird. Larry was already a legend when he was in college, okay? Hadn't been drafted, hadn't been selected to be on the Boston Celtics, none of that. He was still a legendary coach. And even though he spent some time away from the organization, he came back a couple of years ago. And I said, I really remember saying oh, Bobby Knight is back. So this go around, he's probably going to stab somebody. But he's calmed down some. He still had that fiery personality. So Bobby is going to be Bobby regardless. But rest in peace to him. And prayers and love and condolences to his family and his friends. Let's see, what else we got to talk about? Oh, my OSU kid, Chase Young, is going to the 49ers. And this is definitely a good move for him, because he was one of those players that I had high hopes for when he was in college. And usually when I have that expectations for somebody, sometimes it materializes, sometimes it doesn't, for whatever reason. But knowing that he's going to be on the top defense in the NFL, I'm definitely excited for him and I'm happy for him. But you got to execute. Because yes, you have to be emotionally invested in the game, physically invested. But you got to execute and know what your role is. Because the 49ers, like I said, their history alone is something to be respected and marveled at. So You're walking in the footsteps of many great defensive players on the 49ers that came before you. And while they're awesome, I'm going to need you to do what you need to do. I know they're going to make him earn a spot. They're not just going to give anything to him on a silver platter. If you are who you say you are, and you developed a reputation on being a damn good player, a damn good defensive player, you got out of one situation and you came over to a better one, do what you got to do. Show the 49ers that they made the right decision. So I do congratulate Chase Young for going to the 49ers. Also, two more things. Magic joins Michael, Tiger, and somebody as a billionaire. One of the four athletes to be a billionaire. And they're all black. And you guys know we root for people that are black over here. Abso-fucking-lutely. So Magic, I can't do anything but respect you. As much as I love you, I respect you as well, because I knew that Magic was going to be successful in winning because he has a lot of business ventures away from just being a former NBA player. Because I know he still has his movie theaters. I believe he owns a bank. He runs a bank with Janet Jackson. Because remember, he was friends with the Jackson family at one time. He owns the Dodgers. A part owner of the Dodgers, I'm sorry. And he owns another team. I can't remember what it is right now, so don't try to... I can't go through my episodes and look, because I know I covered this at one point. But all that money is coming in. He didn't squander his money. He didn't blow his money on dumb shit. So he created generational wealth for his family. And I can't do nothing but respect that. Magic, congratulations. I absolutely love you. And I know you're going to keep making it rain dollars until the end of time. Also, I wanted to give a special congratulations to my girlfriend, Karina. Because her team, the Texas Rangers, are the World Series champions. They won last night while I was sleeping. And I was asleep during the Lakers game as well. But one thing that I didn't want to do this season was, if I know I'm tired as hell, I'm not going to push myself to stay up to watch the ending of a game. Because I'm tired as it is. I don't want to drag myself up in the morning. So if I'm going to go to sleep, I'm going to go to sleep. The results ain't going nowhere. But we were just talking, like I believe last week, about the Rangers possibly getting to the World Series. We didn't know if they were going to win or not. We just said possibly. So now that they've actually won, things have materialized over there. Congratulations to the Texas Rangers. You guys absolutely deserve this. I'm going to try to get more into baseball. I promise y'all, get more into baseball. Because I told you I was going to get more into women's sports, correct? And I dove back into the WNBA this past season. So I'm definitely going to try to get more into some baseball. So I have more stuff to cover and talk about. Like I said, once I get my foot in the door when it comes to certain history, trust me, I'm not getting my foot back out. Especially when things are becoming more repetitive and things start to stick, that's how I know I got it. So trust me, next baseball season, I'll more than likely be into it a hell of a lot more than what I am right now, because they'll start playing older games on MLB Network, and I have MLB Network here. So just stay tuned for that. Also, always still praying for my boy Mike. Pull through, dude. Basketball season isn't quite the same without you, man. It's really not. So I gotta hold it down for you. And let's see. Do I have anything else to talk about? Oh, shit. Almost forgot about this. Asia Wilson is on the cover of Slam. And the fucked up thing is, I don't even know where they sell Slam magazines anymore. I'll probably have to go to the grocery store to find it. But seeing her beautiful self on the cover with them long-ass legs, yeah. B needs to have it, because I buy Slam magazine when I absolutely can. When I see it and somebody I like is on the cover, okay, I'll buy it. Because I have mad Slam magazines in my closet right now as we speak. And I started listening. I started reading Slam when I was about, 8 years old. And the first cover that I ever had was the one with Penny Hardaway on it. And I've been a fan of Slam ever since. So I gotta see what Asia is saying in this slam cover. Because I guess it's an unwritten honor to be on the cover of Slam, because it's still one of the most heralded basketball magazines out there. So if you're a basketball nut like I am, and you haven't heard of Slam magazine, and I really hope you have at this rate, this is the magazine for you. But again, congratulations to the Las Vegas Aces, and I definitely got to get that cover. And on that note, I got to get my ass out of here, because I got to get fucking dressed for work. And it's going to be a busy day, so, hey, nothing to start your morning off with be dangerous, right? So, I thank you guys for always supporting and listening to Dangerous Sports Talk, showing appreciation. I always got to thank you guys at the end of every episode, because, like I said, it will not go unnoticed. And the reason why the show is where it is right now is because of you guys. So, I thank you so very much for your always your loyal and undying support. Thank you. Yeah, I'm about to get my ass out of here. Please follow me, DB Dangerous, on Instagram and Twitter. Also, follow Dangerous Sports Talk, the Facebook page, and the podcast, wherever podcasts are available. And I am out of here. Peace.